Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to Colossians, the third chapter. We're in Colossians chapter number 3. We've been in a series called The Word and Worship. This is part number 3. Today, we're going to have a little bit of fun. I've invited the team to come up and help me because the first two parts, we've been talking about the Word. And in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16 says these words. Colossians chapter 3 verse number 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And that's where we stop so far, right? 2 weeks just on that little section of scripture, because the word is important to each and every one of us. Remember, we said that the word is our guide, that it's our map, that it's the manual for life. If you need wisdom, this is where you're going to find it. If you need direction, God's going to speak to you through his word. Now, we need to know the word. We need to get into it. We need to get it into us. It's a good thing to memorize the word. It's a good thing to have reading plans and ways that we carve out time so that we can get into the word, so that God can speak to our hearts and continue to raise us up into maturity in the things of God. And that as we get a hold of the word of God, that we also get the wisdom of God, the direction and the skill for life. But notice the verse doesn't stop there. It goes on and it says this, as we continue in verse number 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." Now, we could talk about that, but the context is not just teaching. Sometimes we think about teaching, we think about just somebody lecturing, right, or admonishing, somebody saying something to someone else. But notice the words that continue on. It says, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It's like somebody's saying, "I want you guys to speak to one another. I want you to teach one another. I want you to admonish one another in your songs. And I want you to sing to one another." It's amazing to me how God has wired us for music. It's just a part of our life. It's a part of our culture. It's in pop culture, it's in movies, it's in the marketplace. If you go into a store, they got music playing. You go to a movie, you hear the music, and the music complements everything that's taking place. In fact, if it didn't have the music, it would lessen the experience, wouldn't it? Go to a theme park, and as you walk from place to place, they've got music playing, ambient music, just kind of setting an atmosphere and setting a tone. God has wired us for music. So there's going to be music in heaven. That in eternity, if you look at the book of Revelation, you'll find that there are songs that are sung all throughout the book of Revelation, right? In fact, it gets so loud and it gets so crazy that as the elders are bowing down and worshiping the Lord with their song, as the living creatures are speaking forth, and as the angels, the angelic host, and the innumerable crowd of saints from eternity past, present, and future that have come in to the kingdom of God now, and here they are worshiping before the throne, that as they worship and as they sing a new song, "Holy, holy, holy," the Bible says that the very pillars of heaven start to shake. Now, some of you guys thought that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center was pretty loud, and you were wondering, why are they so noisy at that church? I mean, they're just loud. Here's the reason why. We're just getting you ready for heaven. I mean, what kind of subwoofers does heaven have in order to shake the pillars that hold up heaven? My goodness. Heaven is a place filled with songs, and they're singing, and there's just amazing, wonderful sounds that are going on. Did you know that Jesus, when he was on the earth, was a singer? In fact, the Bible tells us one of the last things that Jesus did with his disciples before he went to the cross, after they had the meal together, the Last Supper there, and they instituted the Lord's Supper. What does the Bible say? In the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, it says that after he had sung a hymn, that he went out to the Mount of Olives, where he was betrayed, where he was taken, and then he was beaten, and he went to the cross. One of the last things that Jesus does is he sings. Can you imagine being in that room with Jesus? And Jesus starts to sing. Oh, man, what an experience that would have been. I believe that he probably sang one of the Paschal Psalms. That was one of the Psalms about Passover, singing about what was about ready to take place as he is the Lamb of God. What a special moment that would have been for the disciples. Probably stuck with them for the rest of their life. Probably heard the tune of Jesus every time they came to Passover season. Wow. Wow. Do you know that God is a singer? You know, oftentimes we think about God as this big, angry old man in the clouds where he's got those long hairs in his eyebrows, you know, and he's just really mean and he's ready to zap you with a lightning bolt. We think about God and we think about God speaking, don't we? Right? Let there be light. It's got to be like Charlton Heston or maybe a James Earl Jones voice that's coming out of God. And he's just stern and he's just serious. And, you know, thus saith the Lord. God is speaking. And we think about God that way. We think about God speaking. But the Bible gives us a different picture. Turn with me to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah. If you just go back into the minor prophets, which these guys, nothing was minor about them. They preached some major themes and prophesied some major things about the Messiah, about Israel, about the future. And Zephaniah, if you just head back past the Gospels into the Old Testament and find the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter number 3. If you're having a hard time, it's okay, so am I. Zephaniah, chapter number 3, and verse number 17. Right before Haggai. Oh, that makes more sense. All right, here we go. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse number 17. Look at what it says. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. Yeah, we get this picture of God. He's a warrior. God is stone cold, right? God is serious. But then look at what it says. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Wait a second. God is rejoicing over me with gladness. That means God is smiling. Can you picture God with a smile on his face looking at you? Just loving on you. Look at what it says. It goes on. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. I get the picture of a dad putting their kids to bed, right? And he's just smiling, just giggling, laughing with them, tucks them into bed like a burrito, you know, make sure that they can, and he kisses them on the forehead. That's God. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. Look at this. He will rejoice over you with what? Singing. God is a singer. Can you imagine the sound of God's voice in song? And not only in song, that word rejoice gives the connotation that there is a twirling, that there is a dancing. Can you imagine God thinking about you, God looking at you smiling, and all of a sudden God just, he just all of a sudden, he just can't help himself. God's just got to get his jam on, right? And all of a sudden God starts singing over your life. What an amazing thought that is, that God is a singer. And I believe that God, we're made in the image of God, and God has wired us just like himself. He's wired us for music. Music does stuff to us, doesn't it? Music is a very important and integral part of our life and our society and our community because music actually has power in it. God made it that way. And God wants us to know what that does in each and every one of our lives. The first thing that music does that I see is that music teaches us. From a very young age, we find that song will help us to learn. Anybody remember the first song you learned as a child? Anybody remember? Think about the very first song you learned as a child. What is it? Oh, I heard Jesus Loved Me. I heard that one yesterday. That's a great song to learn as a child, isn't it? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, it's okay to sing with Pastor, all right? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. What did you learn? You learned that God loves you. And you learned that the Bible is the place where you're going to find out about that love. That is a great song to start off with, isn't it? Well, what about in school? What was the first song you learned in school? Oh, you guys want to sing it with me? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We all know that song, right? Why? Because it was easy to learn when everybody was saying A, B, C, D. Everybody knows it. What happened when they sprung a pop quiz on you in kindergarten? What is the letter that comes after K? H, I, J, K. L. All right, I got it, right? Why? Because you learned it in song. And the Bible says that we can teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That we are literally to teach one another. You know, the early church fathers often taught doctrines about Jesus, about redemption, about God in song. Wow. And in fact, that was how in the Old Testament they learned the scriptures, was that they would sing the scriptures. You know, Jesus talked about every jot and every tittle. Every time there was a little jot or a little tittle or a little way that the Hebrew letter would move or would go, their voice would go with that letter. And so they were able to learn and remember scriptures because they had a certain melody that they would sing along as they sang the scriptures, and it helped them to learn. It's a way that early church fathers passed on the traditions and passed on the doctrines. In fact, even the hymns that we know of in the hymnal books, that sort of a thing. Because the people didn't have the scriptures available to us like they do today, right? They didn't have a phone with 50 translations in English and commentaries and all these books and all this kind of stuff and highlights and notes and daily devotionals, all that kind of stuff. They didn't have none of that stuff. What did they have? They had a song that they could sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, they could remember that tune, and they could remember something that they learned in that song. I used to be a wretch. I used to be a worm. I was headed for hell, but man, the grace of God got a hold of my life, and God saved me, and it was by faith in Jesus Christ and that sacrifice that now I'm no longer lost. I'm found. They learned. They learned through it. But also, do you know you can admonish someone? An admonishment, right? That's a charge, or that's a warning, right? The world has some good ones. You remember this one out there in the world, the secular world? They had an admonishment in a song to don't go chasing waterfalls. Anybody remember that? Don't you do it. Don't you chase those waterfalls, all right? It's not worth it. But how about in the Christian realm? Do we learn about admonishments in our songs? Is there a charge in a song? How about this one? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. See, it was an admonishment. Watch what you're watching. And then be careful where your feet go, right? And all that other stuff, right? Ears, what you hear, and everything else. It was an admonishment. Hey, be careful about this. It's important to guard your heart. It's important to guard your ear gate and your eye gate. It's important to watch out where you're going and what you're getting involved in. See, we can actually teach and we can actually admonish one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. And I want to just take a moment, just like we learned the ABCs with the song and how a bill on Capitol Hill became signed into law. You guys remember that? We can learn doctrine even today. And I want you to listen for the themes of the virgin birth, the substitutionary death, the propitiation, Jesus' death on the cross, and even our righteousness, our imputed righteousness, and our position in Christ from the song that we sing today. It's a modern hymn called In Christ Alone. And I just want to sing the second verse together. Let's sing this together. And I want you to listen for these doctrinal themes.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness.
The incarnation right there, imputed righteousness. You didn't even know that was a word, right? Imputed, what does that mean? It means that God has given you a gift of his righteousness. It's positional. It's not conditional on your behavior. No, it's conditional on whether or not you're in Christ Jesus. You're learning theology and learning doctrines just by what you sing. He says, I want you to teach and I want you to admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. No, it would be kind of confusing if we looked at that at surface level with our understanding today and we said, oh, well, we're supposed to sing the Psalms, right? The book of Psalms, all 150 of those, that should be something that we sing. And then the hymns, we need to go get out the hymnal, go dust that thing off and find it at a yard sale or something like that, because we don't normally use those in every day. And then the spiritual songs, that's got to be everything else, right? And yet, God uses specific words, and I want to define these things for us today so that we know what we're talking about. The Psalms. What were the Psalms? The Psalms were just simply singing the Scriptures. That's it, singing the Scriptures. You know, the hymnal or the book that would have been written for the ancient church would have been a lot of the Psalms. In fact, in Israel, they would sing these on a regular basis. Every time that they had the Day of Atonement, and they would ascend up to the mount, the Temple Mount, the priest, they had the Psalms of Ascent, the Songs of Ascent. And what they would do is every time that they would take a step up towards the temple, there was 15 of them. And they would take a step up, and Psalm 120 was where they would start, and they would end at Psalm 134. And every time they would take another step up, they would sing another one of these songs of ascent. Until finally, they got to the top, and at the top of the steps, on that 15th step, they would say, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord." Wow. It's an amazing thing when we start to sing the Scriptures. And we talked about the word and worship. Did you know that as you sing the word, it will get on the inside of you? As you sing those songs that are scriptural, it helps you to learn those songs. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you go, wait a second, we sing this in church all the time, right? I didn't even know I was singing the Scriptures. And yet God wants us to sing those Scriptures because he wants the word of God to get inside of us and dwell in us richly, and it's going to help us to learn those Scriptures. It's going to help us to remember those things. In fact, one of the greatest psalms that we sing present day is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even in the secular world, it's wrapped up in movies and wrapped up in songs that they have all over the world. And the church has written songs, some great songs with Psalm 23. And one of the most recent ones is just beautiful. I thought it'd be fun to sing the Scriptures together. Let's sing Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name.
Your holy
Can we just bless the name of the Lord right now? Praise God. So that was the Psalms, singing the scripture. But what are the hymns? Is it that hymnal book that we used to break out in the conservative church that we used to attend? Well, no, because think about that. That was only several hundred years old, some of those songs, right? And even though that might seem ancient to us, the church has been around for thousands of years. And so when these scriptures were written, it was well before the time of the hymns that we understand and we know in our day and in our age. So he wasn't talking about go and get out the hymnal. No, he was talking about something different. What are hymns? Hymns, if the Psalms are songs that God composed through the scriptures, then the hymns would be songs that man composes. These are songs that we write about or to God. And we sing these songs together. And these songs can teach us, these songs can admonish us, they can warn us, they can push us forward. These are great songs for us to sing. How about this song? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Great song, isn't it? Right? Why? Man wrote that song. That's not out of the scriptures. It's not directly out of the scriptures. It has a scriptural theme. And yet somebody just wanted to lift up God's name. Somebody just wanted to say, thank you, God. I'm glad that you're in my life. These are songs that man composes. Great hymns like A Mighty Fortress is Our God. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. How about Wake? Right? You wake within me. They were talking about a boat, a wake of a boat. When God comes through your life, all of a sudden it makes an impact in your life. Great hymns for us to sing. Things for us to sing, because do you know that music does something else? Not just teaches us. Music takes us places, doesn't it? You ever heard a song and all of a sudden you were somewhere else, right? Maybe you heard a song and you were back in your parents' living room listening to the radio. Maybe you heard another song and you were at your wedding, right? And that was one of the songs that you danced to at your wedding. And all of a sudden, you were just there in that moment, sitting there eating at a restaurant, and you hear a song, and man, you're in the fifth grade. And you don't even know how it happened. It was just the power of music transported and took you somewhere, right? Some of you guys hear a song, and you're back in the 50s or the 60s, the 70s. Some of you guys hear, woo, right? And you're in the 80s all of a sudden. It's like, what happened? I'm Michael Jackson twirling around doing a moonwalk. For me and my wife, you know, for us, oftentimes now it seems like we're placing all of a sudden we're in the 90s. We're like, hey, you remember this? Oh my goodness, this was my jam. Oh man, right? Me and the homies used to play this back in the day. Don't nobody want to be transported back to the 2000s. There was no good music back in the, no, I'm kidding. Not really, but anyways. But music takes its place. Let's test this out for a second, okay? I'm gonna play a clip of a song. I want you to just think about this song and see where it takes you, all right? Let's roll that clip.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it.
You know you want to sing, come on.
But baby, woo, baby, I know it. You won't say that I'm feeling. Oh, that love feeling.
Come on, bring a big ending.
You've lost that love feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone.
Okay, so where did that take you, all right? Some of you guys, it took you here, right? The righteous, oh my goodness. Why did we sing this one in church? Because they righteous, all right? And that's why. The righteous brothers, some of you guys were back, maybe you were in a rally driving in your 67, 57, I don't know, whatever your Chevy was, right? Your old Bel Air or something like that. You were in a rally driving around listening to that song. Some of you guys were at the you know, friend's house and you're in the backyard. But some of you guys, you're too young to remember that song that way, right? Mm-hmm. Some of you guys, that song took you somewhere else. Maybe it took you here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where it did. All of a sudden, you were with Tom Cruise, you were with Iceman and Goose, right, in the bar, trying to get the girl, but baby, man. See, music takes you places. Let's test it out again. Let's see where this next song takes you. Okay, I'm going to roll another clip. Let's see where this one takes you. Let's roll that.
Thank you.
okay. Some of you guys got transported back to 1978. You were in the theater and your jaw just dropped and you went, what is it? How did they make the letters go like that? Wait, how big is this ship? Where did they find a ship that big? And it blew your mind. You said, how did they do that? That was the most amazing, revolutionary. This is going to change the game for sci-fi films from now on. That George Lucas is amazing, right? Some of you guys, though, you weren't even born in 1978. So you didn't go back there. You went to maybe the 90s when they re-released them, or, you know, maybe it was Anakin that you were watching. Wasn't Luke? Some of you guys got transported to a galaxy far, far away. You weren't watching Luke. You were Luke, right? Or Leia or something like that. You just nerded out right now in church. That's awesome. But music takes us places, doesn't it? Music has the power and the ability to take us somewhere. It takes us different places in our mind. And God knew that, and God wanted us to take us somewhere with the music that he has for us in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In fact, in Psalm 22, verse number 3, it says, but you are holy, talking about God. You are holy. And it says, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In fact, in the Old King James Version, it says that you inhabit the praises of your people. Think about this for a second. Think about this. If you've ever wondered why we sing at the beginning of church, here's the reason why. It's because as you're coming in, and as you're coming in with the weight of the world, cares, pressures, distractions, many times when we come into church, man, we're ready for church, but we're still in the flesh. And God wants to take us out of the flesh, and he wants to transport us into his presence, into the spirit. And it's the music that we sing that takes us there. It's the vehicle that we get into when we start to lift up the praises of God, and God comes and he inhabits the praises of his people. Have you ever gone into church just worried, frustrated, just got something on your mind? Maybe it's like a monkey on your back and you felt weighed down when you came into church, but the moment you made it to your seat and you started to lift your hands, it was almost like all the cares, all the worries, all the fears, all the frustration, they just fell off of you, and you got transported out of the natural, and you got transported into the presence of God, and nothing mattered anymore. All of a sudden, you just realize everything's gonna be all right. Why? Because music takes us places. God wants to take us there. Can we just take a moment and get into the presence of God? Let's sing together.
Holy, holy.
bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just sense the presence of God? You just sense God inhabiting the praises of his people. Which brings us to the last thing for today, is that music teaches us. Music takes us places. But also music touches us. Touches our hearts. Gets in deeper than the surface level. Have you ever been at a theme park or maybe watching a movie and they had such an amazing, spectacular musical presentation? It was at the orchestra, that tears just started to flow. Why? Because the music touched you. You ever been at a parade or in the midst of a celebration? Maybe it was at a football game and they were just striking up the band and your heart just leapt. Why? Because music touches our hearts. In the Bible, it talks about the men of God. One of them was Elisha. And Elisha was the prophet. King Jehoshaphat was getting ready to go out to war. And as he was getting ready, he was talking to Joram, who was a wicked king. And he said, before we go, isn't there a prophet that we can consult and find out what God has to say about this? King Joram says, yeah, there is, but I don't like him. I don't like anything he has to say. He's always prophesying doom and gloom. King Jehoshaphat says, good, let's go talk to him. And so they head out to Elijah, and Elijah says, I think he said that in the word. I can't read that exactly in the scriptures, but that was kind of the attitude he had, like, Joram. He probably looked him up and down. I wouldn't even be talking to you if it wasn't for King Jehoshaphat, whom I respect. And he was so bugged in his spirit that he couldn't prophesy at that moment. He said, bring to me someone to play some music. And as they started to play the music, the Spirit of the Lord came on Elisha and he started to prophesy. King Saul rebelled against God and a wicked spirit tormented him. The only thing that could comfort him was David playing on the harp and the lyre. And it would send that spirit away. Music touches us. Sometimes we criticize the church. We say, don't play the music that I like. Well, listen, there's songs of corporate worship, and then there's songs of personal expression that touch your heart. I had one lady come to me one time and say, why don't we ever sing Praise You in This Storm? That's a great song. I would agree. Great song. I love that song. I will praise you in this storm. But what if we came in on a Southern California hot day like today, and we sang that, and somebody didn't know what a Praise You in the Storm means, and they said, it's fine outside. I don't understand what they're all singing about, right? And their understanding was unfruitful. Or maybe someone even comes in that knows what the allegory of the storm is all about, and yet they're not in the middle of a storm. They're having a good time. Everything's copacetic. We're good. I just want to praise God. But see, that doesn't restrict you from having that personal experience and that personal expression and that worship time, that if you're going through a hard time, you throw on Casting Crowns and you start to praise him in your storm. See, music will touch us corporately. It'll transport us into the presence of God, but even personally and individually, it opens up to us in psalms and hymns, which we've learned about. But what are the spiritual songs? What are those spiritual songs? So you know that as you start to worship God and the presence of God comes, these spiritual songs are songs that are composed on the spot by the Holy Spirit. And he will give you a new song in that moment. And maybe the tune might be something that we've already been singing, or maybe it was something that as you were just humming along, all of a sudden words just started to come out of you. But it's a spiritual song. It's a new song that God gives you. Sometimes it may be in your known language that you know. You might be just singing about life, might be singing about how good God is, might be praising God or thanking God. But then other times, maybe the Spirit will give you utterance and you'll be able to sing in your spiritual language. Those of you who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've gotten the gift of praying in tongues. It's an amazing gift. It's a wonderful gift to use. But did you know that you can also sing in the Spirit? The Apostle Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 15. And he's talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues and prayer language and all that kind of stuff. And the Apostle Paul was very thankful that he had this gift. And he said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you guys. But he says, what's the conclusion then? Verse number 15, what's the conclusion then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray in tongues. He says, but I'll also pray with the understanding. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and only pray in the spirit because I'm so spiritual. No, I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to talk to God about my life. I'm going to talk to God about ministry. I'm going to cast my cares on him. I'm going to supplicate. I'm going to ask God for things. I'm going to pray and talk to God about life and receive direction and wisdom. I'll pray with the spirit where my mind is unfruitful, but also pray with my mind where I know what I'm talking about and where I can receive the same from God. But then in the next sentence, he says, I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. So he says, I make a choice that I'm not only going to just pray in the spirit and with my understanding, I'm also going to sing. It's a willful decision that he made. I'm going to sing in the spirit and I'm going to sing with my understanding. As we gather together in church, you know, sometimes we'll have a little musical interlude during the song. You ever wondered what to do while Cameron's shredding on the guitar, right? You kind of just stand there and just watch, like, cool, man, that guy can shred, right? But why not take that moment, that musical interlude, to just lift up your hands and to sing a spiritual song, to sing a new song to the Lord at that moment. Start to sing out in the presence of God. Lord, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you alone. Why not sing your own song? Why not cast your cares in that moment? God, I was worried when I came into this place today, but today I leave it here, God, and I'm not picking it up any longer. Oh, Lord, because you're able, God. Why not sing a new song to the Lord out of your spirit? Oh, sometimes people criticize the O's in church, but why not let your spirit man give an utterance? Oh, this may seem weird to some of you guys. Maybe you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's right there in the Word of God. I will sing with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. Oh, start to sing a new song to the Lord. Start to sing out, sing a new song to the Lord. I will sing with the understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit. Oh, I can sense the presence of God in this place. God has taken us there, and now God wants us to step out. And so we're going to sing, and I know, for some of you guys, oh my gosh, Pastor Dan and this church is so weird. It's okay, but look in the Scriptures. Because it's the reality of what God has for our lives. It's a gift that God has given it. And this gift of music, God wants us to use it. He wants us to learn from it. He wants us to be transported into his presence. And he wants to touch our hearts. And I believe God wants to touch you right now. And I'm going to invite you to stand with your feet. We're going to sing a song with our understanding. And as we sing this song, we're going to sing together. And then we're going to just take a moment and give you an opportunity to sing out a new song in your spirit. Now listen, if you start to sing in a tongue, sing loud enough that you can hear it. And you know God can hear it, but don't bug your neighbor. Bop, 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 right in there. Don't do that, all right? This is not the time for that, all right? Okay? This is time for you to worship the Lord. And this is being done decently and in order. We're going to worship in spirit and worship in truth. Let's sing together.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. And feel the atmosphere.
Hear the song of our hearts, Lord. Though we may not have the words of God, you hear the cries of our hearts. Make a melody, Lord. Song of our life. We sing it to you, your hearts were just touched in the presence of God. Can we give God a great big praise today? Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're ever feeling far from God, you might want to just turn the radio on to a Christian station and sing the song of the Lord. Get transported back into his presence. Maybe you don't got a radio, but you can sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. Even when you don't feel lovable at that moment. Wow. Such a sweet presence of God. Such a sweet presence of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.